This is The Takeaway. I'm John Huckenberry. Thanks so much for listening. A real test today for Secretary of State John Kerry, a test of his clout in Russia, a test of his understanding of the situation in Syria, a real test of his longstanding relationship with Russian leader Vladimir Putin. We're going to talk about that. We'll also take you to Cleveland, where the aftermath of the rescue of those three girls has caused a community to really examine itself once again. What happened in South Carolina's special election last night, huh? Congressman Mark Sanford. I wonder if he'll go on the Colbert Show now. And later this hour, a woman leader in finance on how she got there. But we begin with the U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry visiting Moscow in the hopes of reaching an agreement with Russia on how to move forward in the Syrian civil war.
We share some very significant common interests with respect to Syria. Stability in the region, not having extremists creating problems throughout the region and elsewhere.
To discuss Kerry's mission and his potential for success, joining us is Nicholas Vozdov, National Security Affairs Professor at the U.S. Naval War College in Newport, Rhode Island. Nicholas, welcome.
Thank you.
Do you think John Kerry has some special cards to play here based on his longstanding relationship with Vladimir Putin, his knowledge of Russia? Of course, he was head of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee for so long.
Sure. Let me give you my personal opinion on that. I think he has a background of experience from his days in the Senate. He is not associated, obviously, with the first term of the Obama administration, so this allows for a fresh start because the relationship was beginning to deteriorate in the last months of Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's tenure at the State Department over disputes over human rights, the Russian elections, and then, of course, the Syria issue also worsened relationships. So there's a sense that this is a fresh start, that he's able to go in without any of the baggage of the first term of the administration and to attempt to reach a new consensus with the Russian leadership.
Now, I want to talk about that baggage from the first term in a moment, but John Kerry said in his news conference, we share some very significant common interests with respect to Syria, referring to Russia and the United States. What do you think Kerry is referring to there, those significant common interests?
Well, the interests are pretty much the same, and as the Secretary outlined them, they are to prevent the rise of extremism, they're to ensure regional stability. The problem has always been that Moscow and Washington have very different ways of understanding how those interests are best secured. From the Russian perspective, the Assad regime, or at least some continuation of the Assad regime, is the best way to guarantee those interests. From the U.S. perspective, it is getting Assad out of power before extremists have the ability to entrench themselves in Syria. So it's bridging that gap that has been the real issue between Moscow and Washington.
We're talking with Nicholas Gvozdev, who's National Security Affairs Professor at the U.S. Naval War College in Newport, Rhode Island. Convince me that this is not just a robotic leftover proxy battle from the Cold War, that the U.S. and Russia don't know how to interact any other way regarding Syria.
Well, it's interesting you brought up the question of a proxy war, because in many ways what we're seeing in Syria is a multifaceted proxy war, not primarily between the U.S. and Russia anymore, or between Russia as the successor to the Soviet Union, but Iran, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Turkey, all involved in supporting groups in Syria, where the U.S. and Russia, interestingly enough, don't have as much leverage over all of the components of this fight. The Russians obviously do have a strong tie to the Assad regime, and what we've seen with this proposal to reactivate the International Conference on Syria is that the Russians believe that they can bring Assad to the table. They're not as sure that the United States can exercise sufficient influence on its partners in the region, again, the Saudis, the Turks, Qatar, to be able to ensure that the opposition will also attend this conference and that it will be successful. So if it was just simply a matter of U.S. and Russian proxies, we would know how to deal with this better. But the fact that there are so many other players now involved in Syria complicates the ability to get all sides to the table.
That's very interesting. You know, we've been talking a lot about the movements on Capitol Hill to get the White House more aggressively involved in Syria, either in terms of giving a legislative green light to the White House or, in the case of Senator John McCain, establishing things like no-fly zones and certain enthusiasm among lawmakers on Capitol Hill for that sort of thing. But everybody talks about if you're going to arm the opposition, if you're going to have a much bigger relationship with the Syrian opposition, you have to vet those various factions that you're talking about in this multifaceted opposition. Could Qatar, could Russia, could all of these nations that you've talked about be a part of that vetting of who's with us and who's against us?
Potentially. I don't know that the Russians themselves would want to vet the opposition, although what they might do is provide their intelligence and background to identify groups that they might see as more extremist. The problem with the vetting process is that this isn't like checking credit scores when you're buying a home. There's no easy vetting process that allows you with any degree of certainty to make judgments. At the end, you have to make a judgment call that groups either will keep their promises or that people who speak for or claim to speak for groups are in fact able to guarantee their behavior. What we're going to see, I think, in the coming weeks is this issue of, is it possible to subdivide the Syrian opposition and to say, well, these are the quote-unquote good groups or accepted groups or vetted groups, and these are the groups that aren't, and ensure that aid and that would be delivered to one group wouldn't bleed over to another. And I think that'll be a challenge. And I think, unfortunately, on Capitol Hill, there's sometimes a tendency to gloss over some of the difficulties in vetting. It sounds very good in a congressional statement to say we'll vet opposition groups and we'll make sure aid gets to the right group. But as we've seen in Libya, as we've seen in other conflicts over the years, once you're on the ground, black and white distinctions often morph into varying degrees of shades of gray.
Talking with Nicholas Vozdev, who's National Security Affairs Professor at the U.S. Naval War College. You know, on some level, if we think of this as a test of John Kerry, on the one hand, he looks at this as an example of what kind of clout can he have as a diplomat here in a very, very important part of the world. But he also learned the lessons of Afghanistan and knows the potential for blowback in a situation like this. How do you think he views the lessons of Afghanistan looking at the risks in Syria?
I think he's very well aware of those risks, and I think this is why we've seen the Obama administration, rightly so, be cautious on Syria, that it's very easy to plot out a very successful outcome, which assumes everyone in the region does exactly what you expect them to do, and that there's no room for error. And I think this is why there has been this degree of caution, not only Secretary Kerry, Secretary Hagel as well. The Defense Secretary has also said we need to be sure of what we're doing. We need to have more information. We need to proceed carefully, not be guided by emotions or the headlines of the day in crafting our policy. And I think this is also reflecting in why the talks went reasonably well with the Russians, in the sense that even though there are these differences of opinion, there are differences in the strategic outlook, but the thing that I got from watching the press conference is the sense that there was a real strategic dialogue taking place and that there had been a frank exchange of views which enabled them to come to the conclusions that they did. And that bodes well for the future. And it also bodes well for John Kerry himself as the secretary that he did. This was his maiden trip to Moscow. This was his first time in the Kremlin as Secretary of State. And I think he both demonstrated his own credentials, but also built upon the, I don't want to use the word reset because it's already been overused many times, but this past month when National Security Advisor Tom Donilon had traveled to Moscow, he'd brought the letter from President Obama to President Putin, said we need to have a fresh start in the U.S.-Russia relationship to move forward. I think that Kerry's visit was an excellent follow-on to that process.
Moving beyond the baggage of the first term, as you've suggested, John Kerry in Moscow, talking about Syria. Nicholas Vozdev is National Security Affairs Professor at the U.S. Naval War College in Newport, Rhode Island. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.